Let's open our Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 30. I guess we're going to go to junior church, all right? Let's have the young'uns that want. Head right on up to junior church. Ava, want to go upstairs to junior church? Ain't no way. There's two. If I keep talking, I might go upstairs. Genesis chapter 30. Today's message, if I had to title it, I haven't been doing very good with titles in this series. We're looking at, again, from Abraham to bondage and just going through the book of Genesis here, the close of the book of Genesis. From 12 on, we find again Abraham. And the lineage somehow gets tangled up and lost here, and they end up in bondage. And so today we'd be looking at Jacob again and some of the journey he's beginning with God. And a title for this message would be something to the effect of lying, cheating, and stealing. Okay, we're all guilty of lying, cheating, and stealing. We've already seen that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we've seen a path of reaping begin in Jacob's life because God has determined that he's going to get a hold of Jacob and teach him his precepts, teach him his way, teach him like he taught Abraham to be the friend of God. And listen, as we study the journey here for Jacob, I trust I could parallel this to journeys that you're going to take in your own life. Journeys that I've taken in my life. Things that have caught up with me that I was doing wrong, and God carefully brought them back for me to reconsider those and reconsider my ways. And notice here now, that's what we're looking at in this theme, that God deals with us and our sin right where we live. And in this lesson, I enjoy this lesson. I don't know why. That makes me a little different, I guess. I've talked to several people who didn't know what to do with this lesson. It brings back the farming days to me. But let's look again at an important lesson here that is laid out in a couple chapters of God's Word so that we could indeed understand its importance. Let's begin here in chapter 30. Now, I've skipped over two chapters. I skipped over the 7 years that he had to serve. Remember, Jacob was deceived by Laban, and Laban tricked him about the youngest being the oldest or the oldest being the youngest, and he deceived Jacob, and he lied to Jacob and pulled off a scheme that caused, again, that Laban, again, pulled a very similar scheme off that Jacob had pulled off previous with his father. And we saw then again that God deals with us according to our sins. And here's Laban now. And Jacob has the ability at this point to learn the lesson. He has served 7 years so that he could marry Rachel. Instead, he was given Leah, and then Rachel later, with the agreement that he would serve another 7 years. So this is the second 7 years, and he's had two wives. Is that God's plan? No, okay? Be careful of that. Understand that, hey, we're dealing with a man who does not know God, but God wants to teach him some things about him. He's teaching Jacob his way. Jacob is not someone that we would set up as our idol, as someone that we would set up as a role model here. He's blundering through things, and God is dealing with him and correcting him as he goes, and there's still a whole bunch of consequences. 12 of them, by count, okay? 4 of them were born to Leah, and then Rachel saw that she couldn't have any kids, and so she gave her handmaid to Jacob, and she conceived and had 2 kids, 2 sons, and then Leah said, hey, that's working pretty good, I'm going to try that, and she gave her handmaid to Jacob and conceived 2 more sons, and then Leah again had 2 sons of her own again, and how many is that now? We've got 4 plus the 2 and 4, that's 8 and 9, 10. 2 more, that's 10 total. How many are we short for 12 tribes? 2. Anybody know who the last 2 are? Okay, Benjamin's the very last, and Joseph, remember, the one with many colors, were both born of who? Rachel. So Rachel finally conceived. And so that's all the stories that we're skipping, and that's over a period of 7 years, okay? Imagine they had 12 sons there in 7 years, plus the 3 years here that we're talking about here was in there as well. And so notice that Laban now in verse 27, and Laban, verse 26. We got Jacob now, and he's ready to pack up and leave. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him in verse 27, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord... See that? Is that all capital letters in your Bible? That's Jehovah God. Now we're talking about Laban who worshipped false gods, who had idols. We're talking about Laban, and we'll learn some things about him if I can get to it today, that Laban here is a couple generations removed from Abraham, even as Jacob is. And so, you got to go back. Did you know, I plotted all this out once and figured out that Abraham probably went to Noah's funeral. You ever think about that? Abraham knew Noah. If he wasn't old enough to go to the funeral, he was at least knowledgeable. He knew who Noah was. So we think again that these are just generations removed. No, no, these folks knew each other. They all knew. They all, you know, they all believed in the world flood back then. Okay, because all of them were the descendants, and they had talked about it. And so Abraham went to Noah's funeral, and here this Laban guy isn't that far removed from Noah himself. Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and so. Here he is, just a couple generations removed now from Abraham and Nahor, Abraham's grandfather, and here's this Laban worshiping idols of gold and false gods. But look at this verse again, and he's learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you that we can learn, as recorded here, from 4,000 years ago, we can learn again of your interaction into the life of Jacob in a way that you could soon be called a friend of Jacob, and that you could change his name to Israel. I pray, Father, again that you'd help us, as we would even study this, that we would learn to know you better and to see your hand moving in our lives for correction, for reproof, for instruction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And we'll give you the praise in the name of Christ we pray just now. Amen. So here he is. He's set up with Laban. Laban says to him, hey, you just appoint. I've taken advantage of you. And you appoint your wages and anything you want for wages, and I will give it to you. So you could say that Jacob's in a position right here to take advantage. He's in a position to show forth the righteousness of God or not. What do you suppose he's going to do? I want you to know and understand a few things again about this Laban character. I said that he worshipped false gods. And the only acquaintance that he has with Jehovah God, which is all those capital letters that we pointed at, is what he sees through Jacob. I want you to consider again that for your life, there's a lot of people that will never pick up this Bible, but they're going to read your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is going to determine which direction they're going to go with their life. And so we have that opportunity to be a witness, to hold up a testimony. And today you can kind of guess by the title of the message, Lying, Cheating, and Stealing, that Jacob's going to go the wrong way. And so I'm going to paraphrase. I don't want to take the time to read all of this. I trust that you would. I trust that you'd be so curious after this message that you couldn't help but to go home and say, let me read that again. But here's what Jacob does, okay? Jacob says to Laban, listen, I've been keeping all of your flocks all of these years, and I'm just going to go ahead and keep your flocks. Only here's the deal. You can keep all of the white and brown sheep and goats and cattle, and I will just keep the ones that are ring-straight and speckled. Does that make sense? Now, which is more? Depends on the herd, doesn't it? In our reading here, we understand that the more would be the white and the brown. He's just going to take just a minority, just a few. He's just going to skim off a few of the ones that are speckled and ring straight. I don't know what that means exactly. Beverly and I like to watch horses. We both raised horses and in fact, courted a little bit on horseback. And so we like to look at horses, and I always like a paint. And I like the markings. And the other day we was driving someplace and we saw a paint. It was the ugliest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I mean, talk about ring straight. That would be a good definition of him, okay? It's like he had a band that went halfway across his nose and one eye was dark and the other eye light. And he looked like some horrible cartoon character again. And that was all over. And so ring straight to me is a creature that's got unfortunate markings, okay? But again, it's not black, it's not white, it's got a mixture of the two. And so that's his portion. He says, hey, I'll just go ahead and separate them out and keep them. And I'll keep track of all of the herds and we'll just keep those out separate for me. And you can take all the purebreds. You can take all the white ones and all the brown ones that are all purebred. And so old Laban says, what an idiot. He says, hey, that sounds like a deal, okay? You keep all the mongrels, and I'll keep all the purebred. And so that's the deal that they settle on here. And Laban left, I'm sure Laban, the deceiver, he left thinking, boy, I pulled another one over on Jacob, okay? And so that's the deal. Jacob gets the mongrels, and Laban keeps all the purebred. And so what they did then is Jacob separated all of the mongrels, all the ring straight and all the spotted ones. He separated them, give them to his boys. Now, how old was his boys if this is at the 7-year point? Seven, right? Be the oldest. Who is the oldest? Like Reuben or Levi or something. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah are the first four born of Leah. And so 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, he has them in charge of the flock. There, you can learn something again about that. We've left the farm culture. I liked it when I was a boy. I got to go out and work everything my dad worked on. I didn't go down to Corn and Glass Works and work with him. But boy, whenever he was on another job, a farm job, building barns, putting roofs on, we was always there as kids. I think that's important. The farmers, again, always put their kids to work, and they go out and they're with dad all the time. I think that's important for a boy to be with dad. Today we're raising a bunch of boys that don't even know who their dad are. And so we're in a mess. But again, here these were responsible young men. And that's another lesson, but understand it. It's given here between the lines. And so he gives them all the mongrels to his boys, and he takes them and moves them off to another part of the country, and he's watching both of the herds. Now here, I'm going to have to read just a little bit of this so you'll see how it's worded. And I've always liked this portion, and it's baffled so many people. And so I'll go ahead and give you my interpretation of it, and you can just put down that Pastor Rice knows what he's talking about. And my interpretation is right, okay? I've listened to some other ideas that pastors have had. I've listened to some of my professors even, and thought, where in the world did you get that from, okay? So let's look at what the Bible says in verse 36. And he sat 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree and pilled white stakes in them. And he made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had pilled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-straight, speckled, and spotted. Is that what your Bible says? What is this pilled with streaks in them? And made the white appear. Now, the reason I know what this is because I've done that, okay? I've gone out and I forgot his name now. It wasn't Bernie Walker. It was my other best friend that I was a little kid. We was going to go out. We was going to make a raft, and we was going to float it down the river and be like Huck Finn and everything. And so we was out there with a hatchet cutting down trees and peeling off bark, and we used the bark to tie the things together, okay? And so we cut off strips of bark, and we used the bark to tie things together. We read some Indian book or something about how to build a raft. And so we was going to build this raft and float it down the river. And I remember coming home, and we was ring-straked and spotted when we come home. You know why? Yeah, a lot of those woods, if you take the bark off and expose the wood, and you get that bark all over you, it makes your hands black, there's a book called Black Like Me, okay? That's what you be like again. And we're down there sweating and working and wiping the sweat off of our head, and we come home ring-straked and spotted all over again. And why is that? And you know how long that lasted? Weeks, okay? I don't care how much you go swimming. I don't care how much you bathe. Back then, we had a Saturday night bath. This was the good old days again. And my mom would scrub. And listen, we were still ring-straked and spotted for weeks. What's going on here is exactly what I described to you there. That, again, they took the limbs and they laid them down where the calves would, again, be born. And so a newborn calf, pure white, coming out, lays on them old brown sticks that he has, again, and the dye in them makes them all ring-straked and spotted. Does that make sense so far? Now, if you take a brown calf and lay it on the same, some of those stakes that they have there bleach the color out. Does that make sense? So what happens is a brown calf born in those things would be laid up. And the other thing that you got to realize is if you've lost a cow because she's calved, and you got to go find it. Do you know where you look? Down by the water. Always. Okay. Anyone watch the deer? I was going to say spawning. I guess deer don't spawn. When the deer brings forth a fawn, whatever that's called again, where do they do that? Anybody notice? Open field. You when you're driving around here, and if you see a deer standing out in the middle of a field someplace or disappearing, laying down, you want to stop and watch at, because again, normally they're going to conceive a fawn. They go right out dead center in the middle of a field. Well, cattle, listen, what they would do, they would go down to the watering trough, and that's where they'd conceive. That's where they'd have their young. And so what Jacob was doing here, and you see in the next few verses that, hey, if there was some strong cattle that was going to, then he'd make sure he got them things out there. If there was wimpy cattle, if there was cattle that he really didn't care about, then he'd just let them go without the branches put out there. You know what Jacob was doing? He's lying, cheating, and stealing. Okay? You see that? He's lying, cheating, and stealing. A while ago they had a show on TV called... I don't know, it was one of those specials about lying, cheating, and stealing. They put it on TV to capture you for a half an hour. And they showed, one of the things I'll never forget, they showed this kid that got caught stealing magic markers from the teacher, okay? And he was down to the principal's office, and they called the parents in, and they was just going to give the kid over to the parents and have him deal with it. And so the dad came in and met at the principal's office, and they had, I don't know how they did this, but they had their cameras rolling and everything for the thing. And the dad said this to the kid. He said, "Son, you shouldn't have stolen those magic markers. If you needed magic markers, you should have told me. I could have taken them from work." Lying, cheating, and stealing. Sometimes we don't even think about it.
Sometimes it just comes natural to us. Here it comes natural to Jacob. More so, I think, because of his name, Surplanter. How did he get his start? How did he get his blessing? How did he get the birthright? Stealing, lying, cheating, stealing. How did he get the blessing from his father? Lying, cheating, and stealing. And now he's going to again get his wages by lying, cheating, and stealing. And so, I wish I had more time to spend on that, but again, understand that that's what's going on in this chapter. Now, I've heard all kinds of preachers come up with explanations about this is some kind of a voodoo trick that they thought in their superstition that that's how the cattle would be born if they did this. That isn't it at all, again. And you can remember that because Ed Rice building a bark canoe was ring straight and spotted, okay? And so that's what he was doing. He was making the good cattle that he really wanted. He was making them, dyeing them, as it were, ring straight and spotted when they were conceived. Now, who all knew about this? This thing here was only shared with just his few tight group. And when I read on through the whole account, I don't think even Rachel knew. I don't think his wives knew. I don't think, again, his home knew. I'm not sure that his children even knew. But here it is, portrayed in black and white, so you and I could understand what is going on here. And so again, understand that, hey, he's doing this, he's deceiving, he's behind his back, he's pulling one over on Laban. Look at verse or chapter 31. And he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all his glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. Now, I don't have a time frame in here, but I've put this down as this went on for a couple years. Okay? I think the total is 10 years, if I remember right. So we've got at least 3 years to play with here after he worked for 7 years for the wives. And so his second 7 years for the wives. And so now again, notice the countenance of Jacob changed. Look at verse 3. Now I got to stop here and ask you before we look at this verse, do you believe the Bible? Okay. Everything in the Bible is true. And I got to say this too, that hey, there's some things in the Bible that aren't true. When Job fell into his infirmities, he had three friends that came and spent chapters reasoning about what had happened. Listen, a lot of that isn't true. That's their own reasoning. When we just studied the Song of Solomon and we saw in there that there's some verses that Solomon put down because that's the way he was thinking at the time. And he's walking through his own reasoning about life. And there's verses in the Song of Solomon that are not true. Now, they're reported as truly as Solomon thought that way. But again, they're not true. Okay? So I got to say that because in these next two instances, we're going to find this verse, verse 3. And then we're going to find Jacob's recounting of this verse. And I want you to remember this. Look up here and remember this part. Jacob lies, cheats, and steals. Okay? And when he records again the things that happened to him by Jehovah God, do you suppose he'd have the same propensity to lie, cheat, and steal? And the important lesson that I want to draw out here, and I've drawn for myself, is the fact that, hey, you and I have the propensity to do the same thing. Okay, so be careful of that. Let's look now at his lying going on here. And starting in verse 3, And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Now, having studied this and read down through his lies and his deceit and looking at this verse in its context, I dare say that what happened here is the Lord appeared unto Jacob. I don't know how he did that. He says it was in a dream later on. I don't really believe him. But the Lord came to Jacob and the Lord laid on his heart or actually spoke to him and said, hey, it's time that you got back to where your father was. Get out of this land. This is the land that I pulled Abraham out of. Remember Abraham's desire that Isaac never step foot back in the land. And he said, whatever you do, swear to me that my son Isaac will never go back to this land. And now here's Jacob, Abraham's grandson, and he's camped out in the land and been here for 14 years, going on 15, 16, 17, going on 20. And so now God, I have little doubt in my mind that God said to him, get out of this land. You're not to be here. You're in the wrong place. You're doing the wrong things. And so again, verse 3, I'm going to settle that. Yep, that's what happened. Verse 4, and Jacob sat and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock, and he said to them, I see your father's countenance that is not toward me as before, but the God of my fathers has been with me, and ye know that with all my power I have served your father. I've looked at that verse several times, and I don't know whether the lie starts here. But look at what he's saying there. He said, hey, he's talking to his wives now, and he says, listen, you know that with all my power I have served your father. That's at least expanding the truth. I don't think it's a bold-faced lie, because we see he did serve here for these 14 years. And your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. And I don't think that's an exact count. I think that's, again, a figure of speech that says, hey, I never know what your father's going to give me for my service here. But God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wage, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ringstrake shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ringstrake. Notice who he's putting the words back on. Did Laban say these things? No, this was Jacob's plot in his mind. He's the one that proposed that, hey, I'll take the ringstrake, I'll take the speckled. But notice when he paints the picture now for his wives, that he's trying to convince them that, hey, we're gonna take off on out of here. We're getting out of here now. You're going to leave your father. You're leaving your parents. You're leaving your home, and we're taking off and going to a promised land, okay? Notice that he's buttering it up real good. Verse 9, Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. Do you see that? He started out telling kind of a truth, and then he got a little further from the truth and a little further from the truth. Who is it that made the cattle bear ring straight and speckle? Jacob did that. Who's he saying to his wives here? Who's he giving credit to? Okay, you watch in your life for things that you manipulate around so that something could happen, and then you say, wow, look what God has done for me. Isn't that marvelous? Boy, be careful of that. And understand that we do that. And we try to make ourselves up to be pious and holy and wonderful people. And that's what Jacob's doing here to his wives. Again, in his own home, he's putting on airs that aren't true. He's a liar. Now he's hit bold-faced lying, okay? And then he talks about the cattle conceived. Look at this verse continuing, verse 10. Then I lifted up mine eyes, and I saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straight, speckled, and grizzled. Notice that he's still covering up his little deceit there. But now he's got even some concrete evidence to it. That, hey, I saw this in a dream. I went to a church up in, back when I was between pastorates, I went to a church up in Oswego. And I got up there, and the pastor said, the Lord told me in a dream that you are to come up here and pastor this church. Isn't it a coincidence that the same week I was reading this account of Jacob, and you know what I said? Ain't no way. Lord maybe told you that, but he ain't told me that. In fact, he just now told me that ain't no way I'm coming up here. I'm not going to pastor this church, and I'm not coming up here. And you're twisting things around. So, again, some of this is to recognize traits in ourselves that we'll do these kind of things. Some of it is to recognize when you're being hoodwinked by other people, and you will be. When someone says, I know the will of God for your life, I want you to stop and back away. Listen, a lot of young pastors A lot of young preachers, in my experience, know the will of God for them and everybody around them. But listen, it don't take very long with me before I realize that, hey, sometimes I don't even know the will of God for me. I'm not going to dictate what the will of God for you is. I've watched a lot of pastors get in a lot of trouble by telling that, hey, this is God's will and how you should deal with your children. You should put them in this home, or you should take them over here and do that, or you should... Boy, you want to be careful on giving that kind of advice. You do not determine the will of God for other people. And here's Jacob. And what is he doing here to convince his family now that, hey, we're leaving here? Is, hey, got a vision from God. And I've seen these angels, and that's what happened. Look at verse 11. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes, and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle, ringstrake, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth to thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedst a vow unto me. Now arise and get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Lie, 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 lie. Now, I already covered the verse that probably God told him that. Okay? But he's playing this up as I say, I've got a vision from God. When you're around somebody that's got a vision from God, you be very careful. Okay? You count on your vision from God. And your vision from God is a still, small voice. Okay? Be careful. Be careful of the fire. Be careful of the thunder. Be careful of the signs and wonders movement that's going through this land now. And understand that, hey, here's Jacob, a bold-faced liar, and he's got it in print in your Bible that, hey, I saw this vision. Now, the account was already given to us of how where the ring straight came from. That was something that was conceived in his own deceitful, tricking mind. That was his lying, cheating, and stealing conniving. And now he's trying to give it over as, hey, God showed me this. Boy, again, I want to warn us, and I want us to understand that you be careful, even if it's a pastor. In fact, I would say especially if it's a pastor. You be careful of someone who's got a vision from God for your life. You be careful of someone who's got a vision for God's will and says, hey, I think it's God's will that you teach a junior boy Sunday school class. Be careful. Again, understand that, hey, God don't do business that way. And man has a propensity to set them up as an authority and say, hey, I know more about God than you do. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. And so here it is, Jacob, and he's doing that very thing. And Jacob, again, has given a bold-faced lie. Now, the reason that a lot of the scholars look at this portion previous and say, I don't know what to do with that, because obviously this is true, is they won't admit to themselves that Jacob is lying, cheating, and stealing, and he's using his position as God called to do just that. He's denying it in himself, and he's still holding himself up as, hey, even amongst his own family, saying, hey, I'm justified in what I'm doing here. God told me to do it. I was commenting, something happened this week, I forgot what it was, but I went home and said, the devil's just fighting against me. Because Beverly had just, and I had just previously the day before, I think it was, talked about the fact, you know, a lot of people are facing up to a plate full of consequences of their own blundering, their own sin, their own conniving, and then they say, boy, the devil's really fighting me. Listen, it often isn't the devil fighting you at all. It's the fact that you have blundered into some things and there's some consequences for your sin. Now, I have a little doubt here that Jacob, had he been a little more conversant about the devil and his opposition to God's ways, that he would have said, boy, the devil is just fighting me on every hand. And here I've been tricked about my wives and I've served these 14 years and boy, I'm just fighting the devil. He's not fighting the devil. He's fighting his old wicked nature. His lying, tricking, deceiving self is what's got him into this mess. And again, here he waxes holy and pious and says, No. Listen, this is how it is. I got this vision from God. Listen, you and I can erase things in our mind and pretend that, again, no, it's all the devil. Is fighting against the devil. Or, hey, I've got this command from God that this is what I'm supposed to do. We've had a couple missionaries here. One of them was going to start some girls' home, I think, or some home orphanage home down in North Carolina. And he came. Some of you will remember him. And boy, I tell you what. I mean, he reminded me of Jacob. He'd got this vision, and he knew. He went around to several of the churches. Pastor Fenton and I were talking, and he again went to some folks up there. And finally, Pastor Fenton asked him to leave. He was camped out in his parking lot. But listen, he had this idea that, hey, he's going to go down. He's got this vision from God that he's going to start this home. And he was recruiting people and bringing them down to get them involved and with this vision that he had. And boy, again, I want us to be warned that you be careful of visions that people have. Okay. And again, when here's Jacob, and he's got this vision, and he's pulling his family and saying, okay, we're going to execute this thing. I don't have time to preach the rest of this chapter again. I wish I did. I hope you got time to read it. Here's Jacob now. He convinces his family that we've got to get out of here, and so they pack off and they steal off. The Bible uses that word. Why do you suppose they use that word? Steals off. Because this was our lesson on lying, cheating, and stealing, okay? And so, what it meant there is that he snuck off like a thief, okay? But the Bible says that he went out again, and he stealed away. And Laban comes to him and catches up to him and says, what in the world are you doing? What's going on here? And you have the whole account unfolds there. But don't miss this part again, that God is dealing with Jacob. But Jacob, again, is playing a part of a pious saint who's been stricken. And again, the world isn't treating him fair. And all he's trying to do is live right. And listen, now that's true. And you and I can get in the same mold. Boy, Jacob would be so much better off if he'd have just fessed up and said, hey, I don't know God. And I need to know God. I don't know what I'm doing. But God needs to know. There's a verse in the Bible that says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And what happens next? He shall direct thy path. Jacob was acknowledging Him, but too late, huh? Jacob was trying to blame God and trying again to give God, hey, I got this vision, and cover up his own wrongdoing. Boy, you and I need to be careful of that. Just be conscious of that. And if you don't have a problem with that, then understand that your pastor does. Understand that there's a lot of other pastors do. When you're put in a position of leadership, when you're put in a position where you can give advice to others, you're put in a dangerous position where you think, hey, I know God better than you do, therefore I can tell, I can determine what God wants for your life better than you can. That's not true. I'm finishing up a paper on... this afternoon, hopefully, on individual soul liberty. Which means that, hey, you've got to give answer for God's leading in your life. I got to give answer for God's leading in my life and what I do with it. But I can't give answer for God's leading in your life. I can give answer for whether I taught you truth or error. Certainly I will. But again, as far as God leading in your life, and one of the illustrations in there, I guess I could mention it here today, is on cigarette smoking. Okay? I could put pressure. We've got a few that have joined the church that are struggling with smoking. I could put pressure on them that's a filthy, vile sin, and no Christian in their right mind would ever do that. And I could laden them up with a good guilt trip. Hey, I know how to do it. I've seen it done many a time when I was sitting where you are. But listen, that's the wrong thing to do, isn't it? Understand that they're struggling with that. But you and I can't ostracize ourselves from another Christian because they're struggling with sin. You're struggling with sin. Amen. And so again, understand that, hey, the convictions, when we have certain convictions, we can't twist people's arms and make them follow our convictions. an individual's got to answer for their own life before God, and that's called individual soul liberty. That again, you're going to give answer for your conduct before God. And I'm going to give answer for my conduct before God. And I can't go ahead and take as a pastor in my position say, hey, this is the will of God for your life, and you must do it because God's revealed to me what the will is for your life. No, they don't work that way. And here's Jacob again, trying to set himself up as, hey, I got this vision from God, and I know what God wants me to do. Boy, if we'd recognize again the danger of that, the error of that, for your own selves. We try to paint ourselves more pious than we really are. Even in our own home, amongst others. So again, let's just be real about who we are. Let's be real about our relationship with God. Boy, aren't you glad God forgives us? Aren't you glad that He loves us anyway? We sing that verse, Jesus loves me when I'm good. Boy, aren't you glad He loves you when you're bad? And listen, we need to understand our relationship with God, and you need to understand your relationship as a counselor and as a testimony to people around you, even saints around you, and also the lost around us. Understand that our Christian conduct, our relationship with Him, our putting on airs of holiness isn't going to do it, because you can see through airs of holiness. Your children, especially in your home, listen, they can see through airs. So let's not put on airs. Let's not pretend a relationship with God that's unreal, like Jacob did here. Let's go ahead. Let's be honest with ourselves first. Let's be honest with our dealings with the world. Let's be honest in our homes. Lying, cheating, and stealing. We need to get away from it. We need to call it what it is. Don't cover it up. Don't paint it holy like Jacob did. We just need to get away from it. Father, praise You again and thank You for the lesson. I thank You again for these two chapters. And Father, I thank You again that You'd portray them in such a way that we could see through the lies. And Father, lots of times in our life, we're hoodwinked by people and we can't see through the lies. I pray that You'd give each of us here wisdom. I pray, Father, that You'd help us to recognize our own lies and that You would search our heart, and if there's any iniquity in us, that You'd point to it and cause, Father, again, that we'd be honest again, even about our own relationship with You. Pray that You touch our homes and cause that we could be honest in our homes about our relationship with You and not put on pretense or pretend, even as we saw in the chapters before us. And I pray then, Father, again, that we just move closer to Your side because of it, and that You'd love us even the more as we would again just desire to be near Your side. We'll give You the praise now again for touching these two chapters in our lives in a way again that we'd be honest with ourselves and honest in our dealings. And Father, that the name of Your Son could therefore be lifted up because of our lives and our love for You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and take a hymn book and sing. In closing, as you're all on the altar. As we sing, watch the words and let's be honest. I've said before that Baptists are taught not to lie, but sometimes we'll sing a lie out of the hymn book. Let's watch the words as we sing our invitation song 293. If you've been living a lie, you needn't continue. You can put it to an end right here. Slay that old lie. Cause again that it'd be laid on the altar before God and that we could live honest. 293, let's stand. Sing our invitation.